This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show. Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Eason with Joel Elston. It's New Year's Eve 2015, and we're less than one day away from 2016. I'm not sure that I'm ready for it because I don't know about you, Joel. I always write the wrong date on my first check of the new year. But this year it's going to be different.
This year will be different. I still think I'm writing 2014 on something. I'm always slow on that one.
You're a little slower than me, I guess, if you're still doing it at the end of the year.
Yes. I cannot believe how my perception of this year has gone by. It's incredibly fast.
Unbelievable. It really is amazing. My own perception is very much in the same ballpark, and I get the feeling it's going to become even more dramatic next year. I could be wrong, but that's what it feels like to me.
Well, if history is an indicator, that's what's going to happen, because it gets worse every year. Or it gets better again. What's your perspective?
Depends what you learn from it, I suppose. You know, actually, that kind of fits in with our theme. Our theme is New Year's resolutions. And in fact, we were talking before we got started here about how limiting beliefs play a role in that. So I guess you could say this week's topic is about what our New Year's resolutions are going to be and how we're going to get our limiting beliefs out of the way.
That's a great topic. That's a great way to start this New Year's Eve.
Well, one of my first ones is going to be, I am resolved I'm going to write 2016 on my first check.
Well, I agree. I think we can start with that one. My problem tends to be, it isn't the first few days, because I'm very aware. It'll be about a month into it that I just will randomly write my bills and realize I just put 2015 on everything. So it, to me, it's sort of a delayed. I'm going to have to really work harder in February on it than I do in January. but I'm prepared this year, because that last year I remember literally writing 12 checks in February and then having to go redo them.
The only saving grace I have is that I don't write many checks anymore. I think I wrote all of, five checks last year. Most of what I do is electronic. So that's the one thing that saves me. The computer takes care of the date for me. But for those other five, I'm going to do it myself, and I'm going to do it right.
Well, that's great. So I think we're off to a great start. I had a wonderful trip in the last week or so. The holiday season has been very good to me. And I had a realization with this upcoming year that while things have just been spectacular in my life, and I love every minute of it, and even as fast as it's going by, I think that almost indicates when you're in tune, things seem to go really fast. So I really think that things are going pretty well, but I need to work really hard on dealing with just part of our subtopic here of limiting beliefs, the beliefs that I harbor, the negative that I don't even see, that I can sometimes hide behind the positive, and that's sort of the piece for me that is an ongoing battle of not allowing these limited beliefs that are often inherited down from generation to generation to continue to be a factor in my life. And I want really to focus and really undermine those negative limiting beliefs, and I think that's sort of the next step for me in this process of dealing with the law of attraction.
Yeah, in fact, as you were saying that, I was also remembering what you said just before it and realizing that, yes, the world seems to move quicker, life seems to move quicker, but you know what? Maybe that's also a limiting belief. Maybe we can actually have so much more happen this year, have it such a more exciting year, and learn to slow it down by living more in the moment. Maybe we can do both.
And that's one of the factors that I have tried to implement, and I would like to say I do it perfectly, and I don't, but is that we've talked in past shows about where the power exists of in our lives. Yesterday represents only what we allow it to represent. Tomorrow is not promised. The only power we have in our life exists in today. Mm-hmm. So when we live in today, 24 hours in today is the same as 24 hours when I was 12 years old. When I was 12 years old, 24 hours could seem like a lifetime.
Yes, we talked about that last week.
Yes, that was the topic last week. So this week, when I'm living in now, and I'm part of my limiting beliefs has been, life is going too fast. I don't have enough time in the day. That's not accurate. We all have the same amount of time. Once again, I have to adjust my perspective to prioritizing what's important and dealing with that first, and not allowing life to overwhelm me, or me perceive life as overwhelming. It's overwhelming because things are going very well, and there's more of a demand on me. I have to remind myself the fact that, wow, my book sales are going well. I have a radio show, a radio station that wants to interview me, and I have to fit this in among my other stuff. Instead of saying I'm overwhelmed with all that, I have to look at it like, wow, things are going so well right now. There's multiple things I need to be doing, and I have to make sure that I get to all of those.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Yeah, well, that's part of what they often call counting blessings or being grateful or appreciative or whatever, because that's what refocuses us on the positive side of our lives. And in fact, toward that end, I'm going to make a little announcement here. The project that I've mentioned a few times, the anti-spam project, I finally got it to work just before Christmas. And I didn't mention it last week, but I mean, that's like a major milestone in my life. Now, is that going to affect most people? Certainly not immediately. Most people don't even know I've done it. But in my life, that was huge because I've been working on this for the last 5 months or so. And I finally got the darn thing to work. That was so exciting. I can't tell you how exciting that was.
Well, first of all, as your personal friend, I'm very happy to hear that. I know this has been a big factor in your life. I know this is something you've wanted. Like you said, you've been working on it for 5 months of actual work, but I know mentally you've been working on this for a longer time.
Oh, yeah.
And to actually bring it to fruition and do it in a way that it's really, first of all, you got to give yourself credit. You've done it in a very economical way. And done that in a, you didn't like you had a multiple $1 million backing and a team of people to run around and do this like Bill Gates.
Boy, wouldn't that have been nice? Oh my goodness!
So to accomplish this is an amazing effort on your part. It shows amazing effort on your part, but also a resilience and how the law of attraction applies, regardless of what monkey wrenches were thrown into this. It didn't slow you down. It just created more of a drive for you to move on. And I again, congratulations. What an amazing feat.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And in fact, I think it was last week we were talking about an experience I'd had a week or two before where I thought I had it working. And then like an hour later, I found out, oh, no, it still wasn't working right. And you may remember I was talking about how I had that real big high. Well, that high returned, but it returned in a different way. That's what kind of surprised me. Because instead of being a euphoric kind of high, like, woo, holy cow, it was more of like a sustained high. It wasn't perhaps quite as high, if you will, but it was sustained. And it's like it didn't go away. And it still hasn't gone away. And that was a little unexpected. I didn't quite expect it was going to work that way. I thought it would be, you know, I'd feel another euphoria and then could I hang on to it? Not so. That was really surprising.
And one of the topics, one of the mindsets that I've been in that I've noticed is, after you learn to apply these principles in your life, the highs are not necessarily as euphorically high as the past, but the lows are nowhere near where they were before either.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So when you're dealing with this type thing, I have come to accept, no matter what project I'm working on, whether it was writing my book or setting up an office or setting up new programs, I view obstacles now in a much different way. Before, I would view them, again, a limiting belief. I'm a victim of the system. This isn't working. Now when something pops up, it's like another hurdle. And you approach it with another hurdle, and then you anticipate being able to conquer the hurdle. So when you do conquer the hurdle, you feel wonderful. And there is a euphoria, but again, not that crazy high where you're out of control. It's more of a sustained, more of a confident euphoria.
Good word, confident, yeah.
Yes, because you now are at a point that you have taken every situation that has come along and every obstacle that has come along, and you have overcome it to bring your project to completion.
Yep.
That And you, if you look at each step of the way and each thing that you ran across that was a problem, you overcame that. That has to make you feel good.
It does now. At the time, it was making me have a headache.
Yes, but as projects, one, as you continue to grow, for me, those hurdles eventually become almost a challenge that I look forward to. Now, nobody likes hurdles in the middle of their project, but if they are there, you know you're going to overcome them, and they're not going to have the limiting belief of, oh, this is taking forever, this isn't going to work. You don't get into that negative pattern. It just becomes, I got this.
Well, I still feel the negative pattern. It isn't like it goes away entirely. I think what's happened is the way I look at it is different, because this is one of the first times in my life where I was able to accomplish something despite the logical belief that I couldn't solve it.
Right.
This was beyond my ability to solve. And so I had to put it out there, universe, life, God, spirit, people on the other side, whatever. I need some help. I need, you know, send me Alan Turing. send me the great analytical minds of history to help resolve this, because I don't know Perl. I don't know how Perl programming works. And you're going to have to help me with this. And sure enough, the solution within days of that showed up. It's amazing.
And that, it really is. And once you overcome one of those obstacles that you really believe you can't overcome, then it becomes, that's where one of the limitations of life begin to be removed, is even though there's some of those negative patterns are there, you now have a belief system, or you have a history of being successful in situations where you did not believe you could be successful.
In fact, it's so new for me right now. It's that feeling that you're describing is so new for me right now, because on the one hand, I have the experience of saying, wow, I didn't know how to solve it. I put it out there, it came back, and it got solved. And on the other hand, I have another one of those exactly like it right in front of me right now. I don't know how to solve it. And yet there is the experience I had that showed I was able to solve it that way. That's a very strange feeling the first time. When you consciously make that connection, you can do it. With the help, the help's going to be there, but wow, it still feels so disconcerting.
Well, and I hope our audience realizes, when you look at using the positive perspective, that we can look at life as it's already happened.
Oh yeah,
we're 100% successful, all of us, of getting through what we never believed we could get through.
Isn't that fascinating? Yeah.
When you look at it from that way, everything that we've overcome, at some point we thought, there's no way I would survive that. And as I went through my addictive process and a recovery, I can remember there's no way I could ever deal with going to jail or getting in recovery or turning my life around with the stuff I faced. And all of that led to me getting stronger and stronger and believing I could overcome no matter what life throws at me. And when I really believed that, then even when it came to the death of my son, which I thought I never would be able to handle the loss of a child, I found myself strong enough to live through that and focus on the positive he brought to my life and really sort of incorporate that into my life. And as I've said many times, when I mentioned the death of my son, it will never be a good thing in my world, but it is something that I was strong enough to handle, because I am realizing I remain 100% successful at getting through the things I didn't believe I could get through.
It's almost like we have a pattern, isn't it? The pattern is,
yes,
that could never happen. I could never survive that. I could never get through it. And just by putting it out just that way, we go through it.
Yes. And when you go through it, that's part of the strengthening process. I can remember years ago, I was, as I mentioned, during my addictive period and early recovery, I was on a very, very tight budget. And I had very limited money. I was waiting tables and doing a few odd jobs. And each month, when you say month to month, living month to month, I was shocked at the end of the month of how close I was cutting it. I would pay my rent, and there were months I can remember having $3 extra. There were months. And that was a consistent thing. I seemed to always make it. And about 6 months into my recovery, things were going pretty well, but it was August, and in Florida, the restaurant business in August goes to put on the,
dead,
on the
yeah.
Yeah, because everybody's heading back to school
Right.
and the tourists. So I was going to be several hundred dollars. I think it was $125, if I remember correctly, after everything was done, $125 short of paying my restitution to the state or paying my rent. One of them had to be, I wasn't going to be able to make both. And in my mind, if I didn't pay my restitution, I was going to go back to jail, which wasn't accurate at the time. That was my belief. Or if I didn't pay my rent, I was going to be evicted. Well, I was focusing on how this is never going to work, and my addiction was that of a gambler. So what little money I had, my first thought was, well, obviously I just need to go gamble and win some more money. And that hadn't worked for me in the past, and that was a pattern that, in fact, destroyed me. I decided immediately that I would rather go homeless or I'd rather go back to jail than have to go through that pattern again. So I immediately ruled that out as a choice.
Which is
And I
great. That's really fantastic.
that was amazing. And then I turned it over. I said, universe or God, I said, whatever we have going on, if I'm supposed to be homeless or go back to jail, that's what's going to happen, because I could not be putting any more effort in than I was at that point. Again, these stories almost seem surreal, because when you look back on them, you can just see how the universe worked. 2 days before the end of the month, I wasn't scheduled to work, and I get a call from the restaurant manager, and he said, we have a bus load of tourists coming through. I don't have anybody to wait tables. If you come in, I will guarantee you $100, no matter what they tip. And I thought, wow. So I'm only going to be $25 short, which is excellent. I had to borrow $5 of for gas money to get out to the restaurant with my neighbor. I made it out there. At the end of the night, this was a feeling when I realized I'm going to make it no matter what happens, Walt. At the end of the night, I made $137.
So you're $7 to the plus. I love
I was $7 to the plus, and I realized at that moment that no matter what, my attitude, if I would have went and gambled, I would have lost that money. It would have been a train wreck. I would have fallen back in the same pattern.
Right.
I just put it out there, and I've had multiple times in my life where I thought the worst thing was happening, but in reality, it was preparation, or is going to be taken care of. And once you get to that belief system that you know it's going to work, it has no option but to work. And you
Right.
sort of, as you said, you this new feeling of, wow, I'm facing this challenge, but I have no idea how I'm going to do it, but I'm starting to believe that I am going to get there.
It's
And
funny
that's
too,
just
because
amazing.
getting to that place was it is the next step beyond the place that I was at, which said when those negative things happen, the way you're describing, and you feel like, once again, you're going to just scrape by your teeth and so forth. My old reaction to that was, I am so sick of this. Every month it's the same thing. I'm scraping by my teeth, by the skin of my teeth. I mean, it's the $7 left over every time. When is that going to change? Until I finally realized, wait a minute, it happens every month. How does that happen every month? This is the kind of thing that should be like, once in a lifetime thing. Oh my God, I can't believe I got through that 1 month. It happens every month. And when I finally realized that, I said, whoa, wait a minute, hold on. What am I doing here to contribute to that? How is that happening? And when I finally started framing the question that way, all of a sudden, I started to realize the role that I'd been playing that I had attributed to just outside forces. It wasn't outside forces, it was me.
No.
It was me all along. And then when I finally realized that, okay, well, if it was me all along, that means it's possible for me to change that, to get a different result. That was when I first decided to say, you know what? My next insoluble problem, I'm just going to put it out there and say, hey, universe, God, I can't solve this one. I need your help, and see what happens. So that was the sequence right there.
And that for me, going down two tracks. First of all, the instead of looking at it like, oh my God, every month I've only got $7. How am I doing this recurring every month? Well, first of all, I had to adjust my perspective and say, I find it amazing that I make it every month. I mean,
Yes.
I'm blessed that I'm in a position right now that I'm making it every month. As tight as it is, I have never not made it, and that's pretty cool. then I can take it further and say, just what you're saying, what am I putting out there that I'm only making it by $7 every month or $3 some months? What am I putting out there? Because my expectation was my bare minimum needs. When my expectation became much larger than that, and I really believed it, then that void was filled.
Yeah.
And that became a lesson for me. I see it every time when I work with families, and I have a young man he has two kids, and he's, I think one's 9 and one's 12. Mm-hmm. He's a professional here locally, and he's doing well, but of course, when you're buying a home and your wife's staying a stay-at-home mom, it's a big burden. You have to make quite a bit of money to make that happen in today's
sure.
society.
Oh yeah.
And so when he came to me and he's like, look, my wife is, we just found out we're pregnant, and I don't know how we're going to afford this. And I pointed out to him, you've made enough. Your expectation was you had to make the right amount. And when you realize that that's an arbitrary amount that you've put in your own head, but yet you've met that every month, and if you can literally change what you believe you need every month, and don't just go up, well, I'm having another kid, so I need $300 more a month. Mm. Really believe that this is where you need to be, and your behavior and your actions support that, your work ethic supports that, you're going to match that belief, and that will come true. After the baby's born, he turned, again, finding this amazing, he comes up, he calls, we only had 4 sessions, and he was where he was at, he called, he told me the baby was born, the baby's healthy, by the way, got a raise at work, and got a new promotion. Didn't see it coming. Yeah, and he said, I gotta hand it to you. He said, I now see that, a week before the baby's born, I get a raise and a promotion. And now it's not a huge amount, but it's certainly enough to cover the baby. But what I'm worried about now, what I'm trying to focus on now, is I brought that bare minimum change. I need to get bigger in my belief. And that's a very, for us, that again, the limiting beliefs that we started on topics, along that limiting beliefs is we under-focus. We set the bar so low, yet we fulfill it, but it's never where we really feel we should be. And we can set the bar wherever we believe that bar can be, but it's until we really believe it, that's the hard part. That's the concept that I was listening to a program when I was driving on my trip, and the speaker was talking about, if you want it too much, you actually are repelling it. And there's a balance in wanting it, needing it, but also being comfortable and realizing you're fine without it. And there's this real balance of one of the gurus said at one point, you got to want it bad enough not to care if you get it, for you to get it. And I've thought about that for a long time during the drive, that I have to walk this balancing act of wanting it, but not over-wanting it, because over-wanting it creates a lack of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a hard balance, and that's why, again, so many people struggle with applying the law of attraction in their lives in a positive way. And it actually ends up being a negative for them because they want it so bad, they think it's unattainable, and then it becomes unattainable.
My wife likes to refer to that as, if you... all you do is you want something, all you'll end up with is the want.
Exactly.
I thought that was a good way to phrase it.
I love that. I love that because that's what you're putting out there is want. And want is a representation of lack.
Right.
And so you when you feel it, or you know it, or you can live it and you really believe it, then the universe sort of fills that void in the way that how we're choosing to look at it. And that becomes the avenue that so many people get stuck on, and they don't seem to, they'll tell
well,
you,
well,
I
was
want
stuck on
really
it. Early on, I was definitely stuck on it because
yes.
it seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? On the one hand, you're supposed to focus on what it is that you want. On the other hand, you're not supposed to focus on what you want because you'll end up with the want. Like, well, make up your mind. Which is it?
Well, and that piece for me has been finding that balance is where we sort of have to exist. And a lot of times, I know you use the word appreciation, I use the word gratitude, but when we live in that mindset, that becomes the balancing act of being grateful or appreciative of what we already have, living in that, and saying, you know, I'm okay. And this is what I am bringing into my life, but not with such a fever that you make it a negative. If all you can say is, I can't pay my bills, I just got to get this money in, and oh God, universe, I have to have $300 to pay my bills. Well, you become so desperate. Again, the universe has no emotion. The law of attraction has no emotion attached to this. It's simply putting out there, oh well, you're putting out a lack of, and so it just feeds a lack of that's where you think you're comfortable.
Well, the law of attraction doesn't put out any emotion, that's for sure. But we do put out emotion, and I think that's actually where the balance comes from, because in most cases, when we're thinking about something that is charged for us, it means there's an emotional charge, an emotional connection. And I've found that when my emotional charge is negative, fear-based, want-based, lack-based, that's where I get into the too much want focus. But when my emotional connection is positively charged, when it's a feel-good situation, then I'm not focusing on the want part so much. Then I'm focusing on, you know, the thing itself, or the activity or the experience or whatever it is. And now it's no longer a case of want. Now it's about trying to imagine and actually succeeding in imagining, what does it feel like to actually already have gotten it, to have it already arrive into your life, whatever the it might be. Because that's where you find the true balance, on the positive side, when you're on the light side of the force, not on the dark side of the force.
Well, and that, first of all, I love that explanation. I want to flag that so we can save that for the future. I love that explanation you just gave. The idea that the want from a negative side, where it's a desperation, is opposite from the want with a positive appreciation or gratitude spin, or the love. The love, gratitude, appreciation are all that's what the void is going to be filled first. But if you're coming from the negative, it is going to be you are in want, so you're going to continue want or lack. And that's how people just get stuck, and then they think they're cursed. But in a sense, they are cursed, because the law of attraction continues to feed back what they're putting out there, and they're the ones that are putting it out there. And that's the piece that a lot of people get really upset about, is you say my suffering is because of what I'm putting out there. And I'm like, yes, I do. and they don't like that. But
no, that's shaking up their world.
Yes, but that idea that what we're emotion is attached to our desires and what we're putting in the universe has a key factor in how we can implement it. And it's that desperate. One of the most amazing things I have ever heard of, this, I wasn't working with this client, but a friend of mine, a 39-year-old lady and her husband came in, and they had tried forever to have a baby, and they couldn't. And they had been to specialists in New York and in L.A. and had tried everything and nothing. They tried it very – I don't know if you know how expensive those fertilization projects are, but they're incredibly expensive. And they probably spent $500,000 trying to get pregnant. Mm. And – they had finally gotten to a point that, well, okay, look, we want to have some kids, and obviously we're not going to be able to, so they went out to adopt. Mm-hmm. And they came across this beautiful little girl, and she was 1 year old, needed a family, a great story. They bring her into the house. The adoption is pretty simple. The parental rights have been terminated, so there wasn't a long wait. The day before the court date, she realized she was late on her period. She takes some pregnancy tests, and she was pregnant.
Wow.
And she eventually, to make the story really beautiful, is she eventually had a baby after they adopted a baby. And it worked. They have a great family. But it was when she gave in to, instead of that wanting, and she gave in and said, okay, we can't do that. It's never mind. Let me just take my focus off of it. And now I have a baby because we're going to be adopting a baby. Then her limiting beliefs were removed and she became pregnant.
Yeah, actually, she shifted from wanting to having by having the adopted child.
Yes, and now they laugh because, like, oh, this worked out. Now we have, and you have to realize you have a one-year-old, and who you know, she's going to be the one-year-old, the two girls, the one-year-old is going to be, almost, you know, 1 year, 9 months, and when the other one comes along. So it's almost like having twins, but actually a little worse because one's just ahead of the other. So they have a lot of adventure ahead of them, but they're very happy, and they have a beautiful family, and they spent the last 10 years wanting to a level that it prevented it from happening.
Isn't that interesting, though, how it so easily turned around? $500,000 of medical intervention didn't do it, but changing their mind did.
Yeah, and what she, and they were still putting the love out there. They were still putting her focus went from that desperation want, which is such a negative, to putting the we have our new baby and all of it. So the love, and again, the universe wasn't trying to be mean and say, oh, no baby for you. You know, like a suit Nazi or something. There was none of that. But what the universe was just putting out what they were putting out, giving back what they were putting out. And again, when the day before they got their baby, she realized she was pregnant. So they understood, if you track it back, it's amazing how that limiting belief can appear to be something you're doing right, because they are believers in the law of attraction. And they thought they were doing it right, but so much energy was put for desperation. And once that was turned into acceptance, they are parents, they're going to have, they already have a baby at that point, then the law of attraction reversed itself and gave exactly what they were putting out. And it did it instantly.
Oh, yeah. And it happens with all kinds of things. In fact, you and I experienced it just before we started this week's show. We were on the phone kind of catching up over the past week and so forth. And we were touching base on what had happened previously with Christmas and our experiences with Christmas, and how we both had stories to tell of people we'd run into who were very, very negative. And we got onto this whole thing about how negative people could be. 3 minutes into that, you lose power. And all of a sudden, our phone call is gone. And we reconnected, you got on your cell, and we reconnected, and we're realizing, oh my God, we're on this negative kick, and boom, instant reaction from the universe, we lose our phone call.
It was amazing, and how it just, we've talked multiple times now, we've never had a phone problem before.
Nope.
And it's just, in the concept of that negative, and then we immediately, instinctively turned it into a positive. You said, well, do you have plenty of cell power? Absolutely. We get a good connection. My electricity never goes off. And it was just,
it just goes to show how even positive people, and we've learned to become positive people, even we can go off on a short negative stint and boom, we get something negative back.
It's exactly. And then that's the piece that I find in our lives is, negative is going to happen, and it we can't. That's what the audience, if they can just grasp this, negative is going to happen. We can't stop it; it's there. But our response is such an important factor. It's what really dictates what happens next is our response. And if our response to negative is negative, we certainly invite more negative.
And we can certainly reduce the amount of negative. We do that just by learning to be more positive, by concentrating on being more in the positive zone more often in our lives. That alone does it. It doesn't take a lot either.
No, and reducing it certainly. But again, we're the factor that you get to, and this is a hard pill to swallow. This statement is a hard pill to swallow. There really isn't positive or negative. There's only things that are happening, and our interpretation of them give it a positive or negative spin.
Great point, yeah, that's exactly right.
And that is something that I have struggled with, because I believe that a lot. I believe that 99%, and I'm like anyone else when it comes to, okay, I believe that, but I can't do that with the death of my son yet. I can't. That's a negative. And I mean, there's no way I could ever say my son dying is a positive. But I see some of the things that I have come out of his death, how, you know, in the book, I talk a lot about my son and the role and the impact he played on my life. So his message is reaching a lot of people. So he is having a very positive impact on people, much more so in his death than he would in life. And that is not going to make my son's death a positive, but I do see positives coming from that. And when you can get to a place that things are happening, and how we assign our belief system, our fulfillment system, or whatever term you want to use, but how you view it is totally that way. I have a great story with this. Years ago in Florida, they had multiple hurricanes cross the state within a week or two of each other.
Mm-hmm.
It made like an X over Florida. It was phenomenal. And of course, everybody predicted global warming. We're going to have 100 hurricanes a year.
Yeah.
They haven't had one in Florida since, but that was what was going to happen. And there was a portion of central Florida, and I don't know the exact area, but it was somewhere between the Orlando, the Lakeland area, that there was a spot where four hurricanes crossed, not at once, but within a few weeks of each other.
Mm.
And just a lot of no real life loss, but a lot of property damage.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was talking about, well, I have a friend down there that is a tree removal specialist.
Oh, he's in the right business.
And I talked to him, and things had been really slow for him until that point. Well, he worked 20 hours a day. I mean, he had to sleep some, but for like 2 or 3 weeks and made a couple of years worth of money.
Wow.
In 2 or 3 weeks. And just nonstop, massive. And his strong work ethic, by the way, matched what he believed. He was out there every day running his crews as hard as he could run them. He owned the company. Seldon does the physical labor. He was out there doing the physical labor as well. And just had an outstanding few weeks that allowed him to upgrade his equipment, expand his business. So there was no loss of life. And four hurricanes cross. And his perspective of those four hurricanes was, what a blessing they were.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's about the hurricanes happen and a perspective determines that. I'm sure there's people, if we have listeners in that area, are probably going, are you kidding me? That was a positive. But again, from certain people's perspective, yes, it was. And that's the concept of where we're in charge of that. Things are going to happen that are out of our control. I would love to be able to control all of those things. But our perspective continues to be 100% in our control, that no one else has control over your perspective. You do. And when you realize that, again, that gets into the belief system that we need. Instead of lending beliefs, you realize that you are master of your perspective.
Yeah, that's it.
That's huge.
It's also rather disconcerting at first, and because it seems like it's backwards, but the perspective and the belief come first.
Yes.
It seems like it should be the other way around. It seems like the perspective should come as a result, but it actually works that the perspective or belief comes first and then the result shows up, which is, in essence, what the law of attraction is all about. That's a very strange thing. For those of us who grew up in this life of cause and effect and of, you know, reason and rationality, and that's the way, you know, life is not, God doesn't play dice with the universe, to quote Einstein, all that kind of thing. Rubbish. It happens every single moment of every single day. It's disconcerting, but it's true.
Well, and that's the piece for me that I'm so excited that in my personal life, how when you realize that the perspective, when you instill your perspective and you're anticipating these directions of how you're going to respond when, no matter what happens, like we said earlier, we're 100% successful in getting through the things we didn't believe we could get through. That alone, when you can start believing that and start saying, I have to think 100% is a pretty good average, and odds are I'm going to keep batting 100% now that I really believe it. And once you believe it, then you do. It doesn't mean that everything is a straight-up view of life, but you can start to see that this happened for a reason. When you lose a job, for a lot of people that's very traumatic because you're scared. It puts you in that negative, fear-based existence.
Mm-hmm.
But when you realize, what's that next opportunity? What's this next chapter going to be? And there's going to be something to propel us. That's when some of the greatest success stories I've ever seen have come after horrible job losses.
Yeah, that's the thing that's really kind of, it's sort of a two-edged sword, isn't it, the belief thing? Because on the one hand, it can be very limiting, and beliefs are limiting. Beliefs are literally creating the limits within which certain expectations are to take place. On the other hand, beliefs can be very liberating, because it's the beliefs, especially your change in beliefs, that produces the kinds of results that make you feel like you're no longer trapped, you're no longer tied down. That's really quite a paradox. The beliefs are limiting, the beliefs are freeing.
But, and that is the paradox of the that's where we started the topic of, there's a category, I believe, that we can start doing, calling of the limiting beliefs, or the unlimiting, or the releasing beliefs.
And the releasing beliefs, I like that, yeah.
Yeah, where we have the ability to, if we make our belief system where we're released from the old belief system, then that is an awakening that no matter what's going to happen, we're going to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy in a positive way, or it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy in a negative way. And again, this belief system are either going to be limiting beliefs or you know, forward-thinking beliefs or releasing beliefs. And either one of those, when you learn to do that, that's where the perspective happens before the event. And that's how we're bringing all this to our lives. Before we went on air, I was sharing about a lady that, very negative lady with cancer, and she thinks she's so positive, and I just was shocked at her limiting beliefs of her unwillingness to stop smoking, her unwillingness to really look at anything different and say, well, why don't I get a new set of beliefs? And instead it was like, of course I have cancer, of course I have this, and I'm like, you're smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. I wouldn't think the diagnosis of cancer would be shocking.
Yeah.
And that, of course, that didn't come across as real caring and concerning. And I, at some point she was angry with me, but I later explained to her that I think you can recover, but you've got to put yourself in a mindset where you're believing that you can recover. You need to get your body on board with the concept that you're going to get better. Mm-hmm. Versus, I'm destined to do this. Or, you know, one man that I find just amazing is an older gentleman I know. He had some form of colon cancer that has a 75% you die 75% of the time you get it. And I heard.
Whoops, I hope it didn't
all that other stuff. I go, I heard you were sick, and he goes, oh, no. He said, I get like a, I said, 20, he said, 25 people out of 100 recover from this. He said, I'm going to be one of those 25. I'm like, well, of course I know that. And he actually recovered. So, I mean, the idea that he never doubted for a second that he was going to be one of those 25. It just was. And he cited examples of how he overcome incredible odds in the Vietnam War. He'd overcome incredible odds. There were people dying at an incredible rate of the battlefield he was at. And he went on like six tours of Vietnam and never took a hit anywhere. And I mean, active, going out, doing the fighting. So he said, the odds of me dying back then were one in two at one point. And he said, I survived that. He said, I'm certainly, when I got 25 chances out of 100, he said, I'm clearly going to do that. And he really believed it. And it's just amazing that it's two different perspectives of the same condition. And you see that. We see it in the medical world. We see it in the financial world. We see it in just in relationships. This is the limiting beliefs versus the releasing or freeing beliefs that we've got to start working on in our brain cells of making them entwine and kicking out the limiting beliefs and just reinstalling these releasing beliefs that this is going to be okay. We are going to work this out.
And the funny thing is, you mentioned earlier the hurricanes are going to happen and so forth. I'll tell you a little story about hurricanes not having to happen as a way of illustrating this. But the point I'm trying to make is that that in itself is also a limiting belief. It's one based on sort of like a victimhood kind of a thing. And the cool thing is realizing that the more that we practice this whole thing of having the intentions, having the beliefs first, and then expecting stuff's going to happen afterward, we actually empower ourselves to reduce the number of things that are going to happen that are outside of our control, because we gain more control over time the more that we practice this thing that we preach, this thing of I'm going to believe it even though it isn't there yet. And the illustration I was going to tell you about, this happened about, it's a while ago. It was almost 16 years ago, I guess it was. 17 years ago. Yeah, 17 years ago. It was just before Louise and I got married. And at that point in time, my parents were living near you, actually. They were on Smith Mountain Lake outside of Roanoke. And we went down. I went down there every year. Every summer I went there for my vacation because, of course, it was free vacation. And I'm on a lake. I could go water skiing and boating and all this other stuff. So it was great. go down. Now, we had just met. Louise and I had just met that particular summer. So this was her first time to go to the lake. And we go down, and she has a wonderful time. She didn't think that she'd want to do jet skiing, for instance, and found that she loved it. She absolutely loved it. So everything was really, really good. Following year, we're getting ready to get married. We're about a month away from it. We go down for one more visit just before the wedding. And while we're down there, there is a hurricane that people who lived in the Carolinas at the time will remember quite well. It was one where it just kind of hovered over the Carolinas for days at a time. And I'm here to confess that it's my fault. It truly is my fault, because when we went to the lake, I was just describing to you how wonderful it was to be at the lake, and I knew that that hurricane was there, and it was at the time it was predicted, forecasted to track exactly to where we were, and I said, no frigging way. I put out there, we're going to have the best weather for the next week. What I didn't realize is that I was holding the hurricane over the Carolinas while we had our week in Virginia at Smith Mountain Lake. And then the moment we left, after our week was up and we were driving north, guess what that hurricane did? It followed us up the coast.
Wow.
So, yes, we can control the hurricanes. We just have to learn how.
Well, and that becomes the level of power that it would be frightening if we in our audience really, you and I in our audience realized we have no real conception of how much power exists with the law of attraction. I sort of use this like if we're using, you hear the term we only use one third of our brain or whatever number you'll hear thrown around. I don't think we have really anyone has figured out how to tap into more than 10 or 15% of the law of attraction at this point. And the idea that when we really get in tune with it and you really get rid of these, again, these limiting beliefs that we keep reoccurring, the stuff we can realize what we could do is amazing. I think that I heard a gentleman on the radio this weekend during travels was actually, again, I don't get into a lot of conspiracy theories and I try not to get into a lot of political discussions. But his belief system is, and he's a very much a law of attraction kind of guy, sort of a spiritual awakening kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he believes that the government is very aware of the law of attraction, is very aware
really?
Of an awakening. Yeah,
I've never heard that before. That's interesting. The government is aware and they're actually using the law of attraction. That's his belief?
Well, his belief is that they're using the law of attraction against us, that the negative stuff we're seeing, the wars and all the stuff, is when the populace realizes the power that exists within them, that there is really no need for the government we have in place, that we are self-fulfilling creatures. We don't need a nanny government anymore, and we don't. And if the world were to get on the same page, it would change the economic structure of the entire of the world and the political structure of the world. And he believes that the governments on some level, and he said, I'm not saying there's every government's involved but there is some belief that they don't want the country, they don't want the world to have a spiritual awakening when they realize that the law of attraction is the power that each individual possessed, and if we were to unite with that power, that it would literally change everything. And I thought, now whether or not I'm buying into that conspiracy or not, what a unique, incredible thought that he came up with.
Yeah, the positive side of it is really a pointer to, regardless of what you feel about politics or government, if there's stuff going on that you don't like, you can always change what you're focusing on, because the more that you do that, regardless what happens to anybody else, you're going to get less of it.
Yes.
Whatever that negative thing is, you're going to get less of it.
Yes.
And that's really the most important part of the whole thing anyway.
Well, and one of the most, we have talked about this in previous shows, but one of the most empowering things that I recommend people that are stuck in a negative pattern to do, at least for a while, is turn off the news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just get away from the news. And the initial reaction from the, I find that shocking that, oh, well, I have to be informed. I'm, and my question politely is generally, why?
Yeah.
Well, I need to know what's going on. And you're affecting it how?
I'll tell you a story. Now, this is long before I understood what the law of attraction was. I'd heard of positive thinking, but I really had never heard of LOA. I think the term LOA hadn't even been invented yet. This was like mid to late 80s, something like that. And during that period of time, I reached a point in my life where I just couldn't handle the news anymore. There was so much going on in my life. There were plenty of negatives. I needed to just kind of turn off. So I literally turned off the news for that reason. Not because I thought it would be good for me from an LOA perspective, but just because I couldn't handle it anymore. And I left it off for about 2.5 years, during which time the wall fell in East Germany. And I didn't know it.
Wow.
I had no idea that the wall had fallen, that the Soviet Union was falling apart, because I wasn't following the news. And when I finally learned that it was happening, or that it had actually already happened, and I went and read about it, what a wonderful feeling it was. It's like, oh my goodness, look at this great thing that happened. I only wish that was the one time I'd actually been paying attention to the news, but wow, what wonderful thing happened. Now, is that because I wasn't paying attention to the news and not being negative? No, I can't really say that that's the case. But it does go to show that you can actually have good things happen when you're not paying attention to the news.
Well, that is such a profound statement, because you were doing well without the news. Now, even though there were some great things going on, the wall fell, that's you individually were thriving without all that outside knowledge.
Right.
And I recommend to people that, pick as neutral of a side as you can. And instead of, I don't ask anybody to totally separate from the news, but maybe pick a web page and review the headlines once a week, without clicking on the
story.
Yeah,
that's what I do now. I use Google News for that. Because if I review the headlines, I don't have to read the stories anyway. I mean, the stories basically just rehash what the headline says. Everything's in the headline. So I just skim the headline and I'm done. I'm caught up.
Yeah, and then once you have that going, then you're like, okay, that makes sense. And that's the my recommendation for many people, is to keep your perspective by not allowing someone else to dictate to you what you're thinking.
Because that's the real message. That's the real lesson in all this. When you live in the news, when you're constantly focusing on what's in the news and what the latest things is, guess what, folks? 99% of it's going to be negative. So you've just set yourself up to be in a negative space all the time that you're doing that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be in that negative space. Do you have to be caught up? Sure. I mean, there's some value in having some sense of what's going on out there. But you don't have to live it. You don't have to soak it up. You don't have to take a bath in it. That's going far beyond what you have to do. And,
well, because
and if you, can,
you become that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You become that, which is the one thing we don't want to do. I mean, you mentioned your friend who you spoke with over the holidays who was dealing with cancer. And I told you in that same conversation, I had another friend who is going through the same kind of thing. And we were both remarking on the ability of people who are in these bad places to deny how they got themselves there. It's really an amazing thing, to the point where I even remarked this particular friend, we spent time over Christmas with him, and he at one point he had told me at the beginning of our get together that he had cancer, and I said, oh my God, that's awful, and then I said, you know, by the way, laughter is a medically known cure for cancer, and I was trying to hammer that point home. I guess I hammered it a couple times too many, because at one point he says, well, I laugh all day long. And he said that with such a frown on his face, and he hadn't laughed all the time that we were there. We were there for like, oh, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 hours, something like that. He hadn't laughed once. And yet in his mind, he had laughed. And I thought to myself, wow. Because he certainly hadn't done it with his body. He hadn't given his physicality the chance to experience the laughter. But what if he had actually done that? I mean, he did it in his brain. That's why he thought so. I mean, clearly he didn't just make it up. It wasn't like he was trying to diss me or something like that. He really believed he had laughed, but he hadn't.
Well, yes, and you see that it, so many times, because people don't know how I believe, and they're always talking to me, and they're telling me why the law of attraction doesn't work. And then they go on to how they're a victim of all this, and they start listing all the people that have harmed them and all the things that have happened, and how their boss was evil, and how this happened, and the doctor that went to didn't diagnose her properly. And I have a million answers that I hear, and they don't grasp how negative their present self, how their presentation is to themselves. Their dialogue to themselves is they're a victim of all of this stuff, and in reality, they're a victim of their own perspective or limiting beliefs.
It almost makes us want to carry mirrors around so we can hold up the mirror when they're saying these things and say, take a look, you're really not doing what you're saying.
Right. It's because so many people say, well, I have the most positive outlook of anyone I know. And you try not to be disrespectful to anybody because you want people to, you know, really start to get into that. But I have a hard time not laughing sometimes because
Yeah.
Well, you would be one of the most negative people. I would put you there. I hear nothing positive. Everything is about being a victim, and the world is out to crush you. And that's the piece that a lot of a lot of people don't get, because you said this earlier along the way that, well, the law of attraction doesn't have emotion. Humans do, and that's why tuning in for some people becomes so hard, is they're putting the concept of the law of attraction should be fair, it should be equitable, it should be working on my behalf, even if I am, and when they hear it is working on your behalf, but it's only working to the fuel you put in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a hard concept to grasp. If I put diesel fuel into my car, which is a gasoline engine, it's going to have a very negative result. It's not going to work.
That's true.
But that same concept that, you know, the law of attraction, it's going to work. The diesel is going to work at destroying the engine because it's not, but the car is not going to function as it's intended. And the law of attraction can help us function as we're intended with the perspective of, yes, I'm going to be healthy, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to live within that. You know, the idea that everybody...
Believe it or not, I have to interrupt you because I know something else is going to be unbelievable. We've blown through an hour and then some.
Are you kidding me, Walt? Wow.
I'm not kidding you. We've blown through it, and we're completely out of time. So, Joel, it's been a pleasure as usual.
Great to talk to you, my friend.
And we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody. It might seem-